about that news of Sears closing?
Yeah.
The last store in Illinois, from a company that was based in Illinois.
We used to go to Sears all the time.
Sure, so did we.
There were kids every summer. The four brothers, we get to go there right around this time of year.
Get your tough skin jeans.
Get our new tough skin. Well, my three older brothers would get their tough skin jeans. I would get whichever one was least worn out from one of them.
From the year before.
From the year before. I was the hand-me-down kid until I was able to earn my own money. That's why I started working so early. I got tired of wearing other people's clothes. But, the Craftsman tools and the...
Yep. Not only that, they had an auto service center at the one in Hammond for a while.
Oh, my dad.
We took our car over there.
My dad used to go there all the time to get his oil changed.
Mm-hmm.
On 79th and... It was just west of Stony Island. Not sure what the cross street was, but there's a huge Sears.
You could see it from the Skyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we used to go to that one all the time. That's where I first met Santa Claus.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, first met Santa Claus at the Sears there. The smell of popcorn filling the air. Remember, they had the popcorn and the hot the hot cashews.
Candy counter.
Yeah. Candy counter. Oh,
peanuts.
That was good stuff.
We used to live for the Sears holiday catalog to come to the house.
Exactly.
My brother and I would go and circle every page that we wanted something on.
That we wanted.
Yep.
That's so funny. I've heard that story from so many people waiting for the, did they call it the wish book or was that later on?
I think it might have been later, yeah.
But there was just the good old Sears catalog to get the Sears catalog.
It was like a phone book coming to your house.
Oh, that was good stuff right there. But... I took my garden down yesterday. It always makes me sad. You know, everything is, you know, kind of dying off now. So I just, you know, took everything down yesterday.
Why? It's still rather early.
I'm not going to get a bumper crop of anything anymore. It's going to be nice for about another week.
So you just
snow next
took everything
week.
Out.
I did take care of it. Took most everything out.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, you know, I had time yesterday, so I was like, I never know when my schedule is going to allow me to do something like that, so I wanted to just clean it up and make it look nice and, you know, like that.
Do you like fall flowers, like mums and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. I'm a little too lazy to dig them back in right now. I like them in pots right now.
Yeah, well, sure. Just get them in the pots.
Throw a couple of pots out there.
Put them out there for a little fall color.
You know what I like better for my autumnal foliage?
Ooh, big word.
Yeah, the stuff that looks like cabbage. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, right. Right.
I think those are a little hardier than the mum. I know mums are traditional, but...
It's funny you should say that, because a horticulturist once told me that those plants are actually part of the cabbage family.
Oh, see?
That's why they look like cabbages.
Could I eat them?
No, I don't think so. But
it's
similar. You know, they're in that grouping.
Yeah, they look just like it. I left my Swiss chard in there because my Swiss chard will grow until the first frost. And I pick that off and, you know, I cook it up like greens, like spinach. Delicious. Well, Swiss chard.
Last week you were talking about tomatoes. Are the tomatoes all done then?
All gone.
They're all gone?
The tomato plants are all history. I took off the green ones that were still on the vines, and I'm going to ripen those on my counter, but the plants are gone.
Are you going to make fried green tomatoes?
Maybe.
Get it?
I might.
Okay.
I got it.
Good.
Was that a joke?
Well, I was just trying to tie it in
movie
with,
on you.
Yeah, I know.
With a movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's another sign of that summer is over. Today, Mario's Italian Lemonade Stand on Taylor Street.
Closing.
It's closing today.
Ugh.
Closing for the season. Sad.
The worst day was when the Glenview Dairy Bar closed for the season.
Right.
Oh, it was such a disheartening thing to ride your bike over there and say, close for the season. See you next year.
See you next year. Right, yeah. That's the same thing with me with Tasty Freeze or the neighborhood Dairy Queens. You know, same kind of deal. That's a sign that summer is over. But fortunately, there is some nice things going on in the air right now as well. Scrolling through my Facebook as we young kids like to do.
I know where this is going.
And I see a nice little post on there from one Mr. Andrew Mazur.
Uh-huh.
Can I read this?
Is yeah, you can read it.
You posted it publicly. Yeah. I don't really need your permission.
No, you don't.
I just publicly posted. It says, 2 years ago today, I met Melina Lee for the first time. Melina? Melina.
Melina.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I remember it like it was yesterday. Our first date, which I was 15 minutes early for. She'll never let me forget that. We hit golf balls at Diversey Driving Range. You are romantic, Anna.
I tell you what, isn't that great?
You are very romantic.
There's a method behind that madness, by the way. I'll explain.
But listen to this. Listen to this metaphor. We hit golf balls at Diversey Driving Range, and it's been all fairways and greens ever since.
I'm a wordsmith.
Swanee's in tears right now. She's a constant support. Source of support, and is what I call a great teammate. I love you, baby. I'm so lucky that you came into my life. Here's to many, many more years together. Isn't that sweet?
I'm a romantic guy at heart.
That's sweet. I'm reading this, and I'm going, I never knew this side of Andy.
Well, I didn't know that side of me either.
He got quite a few responses, too.
He did.
Tell you.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. I mean, we went to the driving range. You know, I'm left-handed. She's right-handed. So we could actually hit golf balls and talk to each other because we could face each other. So it was, that was part of the reason going there. But we were talking about golf, and she's into sports, which is why the sports metaphors were in there. And, of course, I live my life around sports.
Of course.
So, but, you can't be all flowery sports stuff. You got to be regular flowery, too, every once in a while.
That was very, very, very sweet of you.
And thank you.
And she's a very, very, very sweet and nice person.
Yes, she is.
Met her several times and could not be nicer.
I agree.
Andy really, really...
I outkicked my coverage, is what you're saying.
He's trying to think of a good sports metaphor.
Yeah, out over my skis, yeah. I've heard them all.
I'm also enjoying Andy's selection of t-shirts and the pictures that he's posted. Your Hawaiian Punch t-shirt.
That one I got. So during the pandemic, I decided that I was going to do something and get into something, and it was retro t-shirts, and that was one of the first ones I bought. And every once in a while, I'll take a picture with it, and people will comment about the picture. I'm like, come on, talk about the shirt. This is what I got the shirt for. I want people to notice.
It's the guy from the old Hawaiian Punch commercials. How about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Exactly.
And then he punches you.
Right.
Very, very nice. Congratulations to all you young lovers on the show here today.
Need to find that old song, Hello.
Somebody texted in saying, what's the name of the song that I'm playing in the background?
Love is a Many Splendored Thing.
That's right.
Who does this version?
Let me see. I do not know.
Okay.
It doesn't say. It doesn't say. It just says easy listen. Oh, wait. No, it just says easy listening instrumental.
Okay.
That's all I can tell
you. It's the easy listening instrumental orchestra.
I know it's from a movie. Love is a Many Splendored
Thing.
That was a movie. Jennifer Jones and William Holden starring. But I do not know who played this particular version, but it's lovely.
Great big production there. I thought I heard a chorus toward the end when you were playing it earlier.
I could see Andy smashing a golf ball off of a tee.
Yes, sir.
Right.
With this music, it's in slow motion. You know, the music slow backswing.
That's how I play anyway.
Moving through the ball and keeping his head down, as any good golfer will, after you hit the ball.
First you have to go. Right. That's what I was going to say. Hello, ball.
Address the ball. Hello, ball.
This is going to be the music.
Did you use that line on your first date?
I did not. She wouldn't have agreed to a second.
Then you wouldn't have had a second date.
Well, I don't know how we can possibly top all this love that's in the air here this morning, but I'm going to take a guess. Perhaps it's with the little feature we call the flarflung flart. You know what it is. I say it every week. The interesting compendium of facts all presented to us each week by your host and moderator, Dave Cupid Schwann.
Well, thank you very much, and congratulations to all the young lovers out there. Today, our far-flung forecast takes us south to St. Francisville, Louisiana.
Oh.
Or do you say Louisiana?
I say Louisiana.
Louisiana. Yeah. St. Francisville, Louisiana, population 1,589. It is part of the Baton Rouge Metropolitan Statistical Area.
Baton Rouge.
Meaning it's a more or less a suburb of Baton Rouge. Was formed in 1807, and there is currently an effort underway among the local community there to restore some of the historic homes that are there. There are also some plantations that you can tour, historic plantations as a part of the downtown. But I would imagine that the locals of St. Francisville, Louisiana today have a great deal of pride because one of their own has become very famous, and deservedly so. We're talking about Haley Arsenault, who was one of the four astronauts aboard Inspiration 4 that successfully landed in the Atlantic Ocean yesterday.
Is that the SpaceX?
The SpaceX thing? Dragon capsule. She was among the four astronauts that were aboard. This is the very first time.
With no astronauts.
With no professional astronauts aboard, yes.
So it's basically like getting on a ride at Disneyland.
Yeah, something like that. And
please keep your hands inside the spacecraft.
She is a really inspiring. Inspiration 4 is a great name for this group of people that went into space. She is inspiring. At 10 years old, she was diagnosed with bone cancer in her leg, and they inserted a prosthetic in the leg. They didn't amputate, but she has a prosthesis in her leg.
Hmm.
And so she is the first person to go into space with a prosthesis, and also the youngest. She's only 29 years old, and she works at the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital as a physician assistant, and they raised something like $100 million+ for St. Jude's Children's Research Center during this flight.
That was the whole point of this flight, to be a fundraiser for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
I don't know if you saw any of the video where they were taking questions and answers from the kids at the hospital, but it was great. It was just priceless.
Nice. Very nice.
St. Francisville, Louisiana, cloudy but 77 degrees today.
WGN.
Dr. Most, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Dean. I'm doing great. Anybody not doing well in a day like today needs to get outside.
So. Boy, that is for sure. It is beyond gorgeous yesterday and today both. So from the moment that I heard the news about the ruling that came down regarding booster shots, that they are only going to be endorsed for people who are over 65 or those with high risk of severe disease, all I could think of was, I wonder what Kevin thinks about all of this, because you've been pretty vocal about saying that you thought we all, are going to need a booster at some point.
And I still do. When the ruling came down, there was a lot of conversation about it. Once they recommended against the approval for everybody, we certainly were keeping our fingers crossed and hope that they would come back with a recommendation, at least for the ones that they did. Because we have to remember that group probably didn't get the immune response from the vaccine that many of us did. So glad that they made that comment and glad that they did that. And I think, the White House got out a little bit ahead of this. And you talk about confusion. The Vaccine Advisory Committee was only looking at Pfizer. So now it's like, wait a second, why don't we wait until the data for Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson so we can have a global decision?
Right. And will that happen? Will there be, decisions coming out on the others anytime soon?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if everybody understands, the reason that they met on Friday is Pfizer made a request for this booster dose. Moderna, I am sure, will do the same, probably within the next month as they get the rest of their data. And I would assume Johnson & Johnson will do the same. So it's a matter of Johnson & Johnson will be the last to the dance, and that'll probably be a few months from now. But certainly they're all going to make their case based on the science that they have, that the antibodies and the protection does wane post X number of days based on whatever they find.
So the booster shot, as I understand it, is I don't want to say simply the same thing that, you know, we've already got, presuming that you have already gotten both of your vaccinations, that it's the same thing. It's not anything different like our flu vaccines that we would get would change a little bit every year, depending on, what the new strains were. So it's not really something that is specifically addressing Delta or Lambda or the other variants that we know are out there right now, right?
Correct. Yeah, 100%. And, this is a fast-moving train. It's trying to, change the tires on a moving car. So certainly they didn't have the time to do any study on a Delta variant vaccine that they may be working on. So they're certainly going with this. And from a logistics point of view, it makes it so much easier to distribute the doses so that you can't give the wrong dose to somebody. Certainly, we're going to be looking in the future of, is this going to be an annual shot along with our flu shot? Moderna and Pfizer are both looking at that right now to making a joint shot with COVID and the influenza vaccine. Those are being tested this fall. So that could be the future for us.
The state of Israel started distributing its booster shots this past July, quite a while ago. And all the health officials there are saying, it's like a fresh vaccine. It's dampening severe cases from a possible fourth wave. What are they doing? What do they know that is not happening here?
Yeah, it's interesting. Israel, we've always looked to Israel as kind of a source of truth, but they have excellent data. They have a really good health system that really monitors and controls all this. And like you said, they started their boosters in July as they started to see this fourth wave. And their responses to it were great. Hospitalizations were down. Their definition of a severe illness and ours are totally different. Hmm. So that's how we have to be careful saying, we saw this big decrease in severe cases. In order to be called a severe case in Israel, all you had to do is have an increased respiratory rate. In other words, you were breathing faster than normal and a pulse oximetry at 94% or lower, where you had to be hospitalized. So although it's good data, we got to make sure we're not comparing apples to oranges.
773 area code is asking why people with natural immunity need a shot. Presuming people who, I assume they mean somebody who has had COVID who then
Correct.
Has a natural immunity. Because, that wanes as well, doesn't it? The natural immunity?
Absolutely, it wanes as well. And we don't have enough data on that to track those who had COVID to see how the natural immunity works. Plus, as we talked in the past, if you think about this, you can have COVID from a point of being almost asymptomatic to being on a ventilator in the hospital. So the spectrum of this illness is quite huge. So we can't say, boy, you got COVID, we expect your immune response to do this, because it is such a wide variance. Whereas with a vaccine, we know exactly what we gave you. We know exactly what to check. We have a lot of people out there that probably had mild COVID cases and didn't know it. But certainly getting vaccinated after COVID has certainly shown that it's going to give you a great immune response, very similar to what you saw, Dean.
Right, right. The so as it stands right now, if you're over 65, you can go and get your booster shot. If you are immune compromised in some way, you can go and get your booster shot. What does that mean exactly? People with severe illness or people who are immune compromised? Who does that include?
Yeah, so what they're looking at right now is individuals who may be taking drugs that make them immunocompromised. In other words, the rheumatoid arthritis patients who take some drugs that'll do that. Individuals who may have asthma and are on steroids. We know that steroids will decrease their immune system. And then again, over the age of 65, just like we said in the past, even for influenza, those over the age of 65, we want to give them that HD, that high dose vaccine, because we know their immune response is not as great. So although people are calling it a booster, actually for these individuals, it's their third shot. And it's not splitting hairs, but what it's saying is this is the third shot that they need to catch up to the immune response that all of us younger, healthier people may have had. those individuals may need a fourth shot as a booster. But certainly we want to get their immune response, especially for that vulnerable population, be it nursing home, healthcare workers, those who are really going to be potentially impacted.
Is it possible to test one's immunity? In other words, can I go in and get a blood test and go, you know, it's like checking my oil on the car. Some cars need, a little extra oil and some don't.
Right. So this is the confusing part for many people, because if you remember Tom Hanks' wife, Rita Wilson, came out and said, oh, my antibodies have dropped down after they were both infected. But we all have to remember that there's two different things. There's circulating antibodies. In other words, I draw your blood right now and I can find antibodies. But we also have these things called B and T memory cells. And those are the ones that remember what they've been exposed to. And they make antibodies when they're exposed to that. Mm. So it's difficult to say, boy, my antibodies are down, therefore I'm not immune. No, you should have B and T cells that are ready on the sidelines for an exposure to a virus, whatever virus it is, and they're going to start to make antibodies to protect you.
So I was picking up a prescription the other day, and I go to the pharmacist to get the prescription, and they go, do you want to get your flu shot? Which in years past, I was like, yeah, why not? Sure. I've had my flu shot at the pharmacy in the past. But this time I thought, I'm not 100% sure how things are going to interact with one another, you know, given with my, you know, vaccinations, with that I did have COVID, a year ago in November. Is it okay to just get your flu shot, like that? Or is that something that you really should talk to your doctor, look at your history before you go ahead and do that?
No, absolutely. We want to make sure everybody gets their influenza shot now. And you can even get your influenza and COVID shot at the exact same time. So certainly we don't want people to be hesitant. Now, that being said, I still, here it is September 19th, I still look at, more like October before I really start pushing for flu shots, but certainly they're available now. And people say, well, we had such a slow flu season last year. And I agree. But unfortunately, if you look right now, Georgia, Texas, they're already seeing cases of influenza, which we didn't see at all last year. So certainly we have to make sure that everybody does get their flu shots this year to dampen that. Because I'll tell you, the hospitals are plenty busy. We don't need individuals with influenza being hospitalized.
Okay, very good. Let me take a break. We'll come back and get to your questions for Dr. Kevin Most, 312-981-7200. WGN. Patty is on the line with a question. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Dr. Most, this question has probably been asked a million times, but I am a senior, soon to be 74. I had my last Pfizer vaccination in February, the beginning of February, and I have been told to get the third booster, which I will, but I'm confused. Should I get it now, or do I need to wait till like the eighth month, which would be in October?
Patty, again, you hit on a very key point, because if you remember, the words of 5 months and 8 months came out of the White House, not the FDA. The FDA is actually saying that seniors should be getting that third dose at least 28 days after their second dose. So it is almost immediate now. So certainly anybody who got it back in February, you should get it now. But going forward, we're going to be giving that third dose 28 to 30 days after that second dose. We're not going to be waiting months. So certainly, again, this was the White House wording versus the FDA and CDC. So certainly everyone now, the seniors that probably got vaccinated in January and February, should all be getting that third shot now.
Patty, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Are we going to have the same kind of trouble, Kevin, with finding some place to get booster shots, third vaccinations, because a lot of the places that were set up for vaccinations now have closed?
Correct. We went from that concept of let's do mass vaccination sites where we knew and we had good control of the vaccine when it was limited. Now we've gone the opposite direction and say, let's push this into the communities and get it close to individuals' homes so that we can make it more convenient for them. So when we first started, you had mass vac sites. You didn't have the ability to walk into any Walgreens or CVS or your doctor's office to get the vaccination or immediate care centers. Now that's what we've done is said, okay, mass vax is done, pushing into the communities for those who have been hesitant so that it can be more local for them and easier for them to get it. And that would be the same with the third shots and the boosters.
There are a lot of people on our text line asking questions. If I had Moderna, can I get a Pfizer booster and vice versa? If I had a Pfizer original, can my booster be Moderna? Can you swap around like that?
Yeah, you know, the recommendation right now is to stay with the same manufacturer. However, do not delay, you know, if you're a senior, do not delay waiting or trying to find that other one. Certainly, they're going to try to stay within the same manufacturer because that's where the studies have been done. There was a study done in Britain that showed switching them on purpose actually did quite fine. But I think out of convenience and out of standardization here in the United States, we're going to do that. That being said, this does not include the Johnson & Johnson individuals. Johnson & Johnson, we need to wait for the data to see if it's another Johnson & Johnson. So Moderna and Pfizer, much clearer as to the booster shot than we would be with Johnson & Johnson.
Here's Beth. You're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Hi, Dr. Most. Quick question. We have tickets to the Ryder Cup practice round on Thursday. Two adults in their late 70s, one adult early 50s. Everyone's vaccinated. But with the event being, I think, 45,000 attendees, no masking except inside tents. Just wondering if you could comment on the exposure risk and if you'd even recommend masking outside in the course or in the stands or if the risk is viewed to be low. I know that you've been at different PGA events, and we never really hear anything in the news if golf events are viewed to be a source of spread for COVID.
Yep. So, Beth, you make a really good point and very interesting point when you said the word stands. I've said that repeatedly now about professional football and college football. You get all these individuals there. Certainly, for the going to the Ryder Cup, I would say two things. One, you're not going to park on the ground, so you're going to be bussed in. So certainly have a mask there and mask when you're indoors. And the nice thing about the Ryder Cup, you are going to be on a large piece of property. So being able to physically distance from others is going to be fine. I would be kind of careful, though, about who you're around and try, you know, for individuals who are going to be watching the Ryder Cup, you'll see a lot of individuals packed together. You know, this is an opportunity to use the land that you have and still gain the experience that you have, because this is one tournament that there's a lot more yelling and screaming than regular PGA Tour events. So I would stay away from the stands. I would get to a point where you can be mobile and then just be careful who you're around and then wear the mask on the bus back and forth to your car.
Yeah, it sounds like, wearing the mask, except maybe unless you're eating or drinking something. I would just play it safe if it was me. Does that sound reasonable? If you can,
sure.
If you can stand wearing the mask that long.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's people, it's going to be towards their comfort. But if you're outside and you're a group and you're walking with a group of five people and you know all five of them are vaccinated and you're outdoors right on the lake, you know, I think that you could be comfortable taking it off while you're mobile. But like you said, when you're in line for food, when you're in other areas in the stands, then I certainly would be, just like I would say to anybody going to the Bears game today.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital. Enjoy your Sunday, Kevin. Thank you so much, as always.
Great. And Beth, bring home a winner for us. The United States needs to win this Ryder Cup, so make sure you bring home a winner.
You can see where
his
real passions lie. Schwani, Andy, everybody, a letter poured into the show this week.
A letter poured into the show.
Well, it's a card.
Okay.
It's a nice card. Get a lot of nice cards, you know.
Okay, when you started out saying it's nice, you're setting this up well.
No, it is. It's not very nice. It's very nice. But I just want to comment. Our listeners they have impeccable manners, beautiful penmanship. I noticed that.
Well, there's a word you don't hear anymore.
When we get when I get actual physical letters or notes, cards, you know, our listeners just tend to have beautiful, beautiful penmanship.
Well, that's even more of a credit to
that. That's not the point of me bringing this up.
Are you going to read the letter?
I'm not
going to
read the whole thing, but it's a thank you note. From Mick and Tina. Mick and Tina from Marseilles. Marseilles or Marseille, Illinois?
I believe it is Marseilles, Illinois.
Okay. So yeah. Mick and Tina from Marseilles. They won tickets to join me at our Dean's Night Out that we had a few weeks ago over at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Andy, were you invited to this?
I just figured it was an open invitation.
Oh, yeah. You're always invited.
Yeah.
You may proceed.
I didn't tell you about it, but I don't know if you listened to the show, but I have mentioned it several times on the show. It would be very distracting to have you there.
I was at one of them a number of years ago.
When we did the show there.
No, we were at another Dean's Night Out where we had a dinner.
Really?
Yeah. This is a number of years ago.
Was I there?
Yes, you were there.
Was I sober?
I don't know.
That's not always guaranteed at these events. But it's a nice card just saying how much they enjoyed the show, how much they appreciate the tickets. Thank you for making us feel like VIPs. It's
very nice.
Very
cool.
Very, very nice. But here's the part why I wanted to read this. It said, love you and especially the Sunday morning crew.
Well, thank you. Nice. We love you too.
Please,
there's a lot of love on the show today.
Yes, there is. It's in the air.
It says, please continue to stay true to yourselves. We listeners love it. So.
Well, we'll pass that along to the rest of the people here in the newsroom then too.
Is there anyone else there?
Yes. Our producer Jessica is here. Steve Ruxton is here.
I noticed this morning, Jessica, when I walked by the window and didn't stop to say hello.
No, you never do.
I do sometimes.
Sometimes.
I didn't today because I was running a little late.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed Jessica seemed to be doing all the work. It seemed like you were enjoying a little breakfast. And Jessica was busy writing all the newscasts.
You know, as someone that sits adjacent to the newsroom, I will confirm that it's not seems, it actually is.
See? Okay. Maybe I do need to stop by there a little more often.
You could get some of the food in here.
Keep some discipline in there. Poor Jessica just had a baby, and you've got her doing all the work in there. She comes here to relax a little bit. She doesn't need you to make life even more difficult for her.
Toss salads and scrambled eggs.
You ever watch this show, Frasier?
Yeah.
Frasier show?
I love that show, yeah.
Catch it every once in a while.
One of the few successful spinoffs.
Right?
Right,
from
Cheers.
From Cheers, yeah.
And one of the few radio shows on television that they actually use headphones.
I enjoy it when I see DJs or talk show hosts on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally they do stuff that you actually would never do in real life. But Frasier was different than that.
Yep.
I played this today because Frasier was one of the most awarded comedies for Emmy Awards through the years. Well, when it was on the air in the, let me find the exact years here. I want to say the 1990s. Yeah, 94, 95, 96, 97, and 98 won the Emmy Award for Best Comedy. 5 years in a row. Hmm. That's pretty amazing. Modern Family did that. And not too many other shows won that many years in a row. Veep won 3 years in a row. All in the Family won several, but in different years, non-consecutive years. Taxi won 3 Emmy Awards for Best Comedy, which just surprised me. I was honestly never a big fan of the...
You didn't like Taxi?
It was not one of my favorites.
That was a fun show.
Yeah. I liked Jim on the show.
Yeah.
Crazy Jim. I did like...
Yeah. With Danny DeVito, you didn't really care for that, huh?
Yeah. No, not really.
Tony Danza?
Tony Danza and
Jeff Conway.
Andy Kaufman.
No.
See, I watched a show that was on since 1962.
Mary Tyler Moore Show won 3 years in a row. Very deservedly so. All in the Family. All in Family 2 years in a row. And then it won a couple of years later on. You know what was the best Emmy, the Emmy award winning comedy of the year in 1967?
67? Dick Van Dyke?
Won in 1966, but not 67.
Okay. Yeah.
Get Smart won 68, but not 67. The Monkees.
Okay.
I cannot believe that won any awards. when you watch
1967 it now, was a big year for the Monkees.
I guess so. Wait, let me look here for a second. I wonder if Rowan and Martin's laughing.
Was that on? I didn't think that came on until 68.
Yeah, but I don't see it in 68 or 69, 70. I don't see it in any of those years. Interesting, because it was considered such a groundbreaking show for its time. The Emmy Awards are tonight. The 73rd Emmy Awards are tonight. And the nominees for Best Comedy this year, Blackish, Cobra Kai, Emily in Paris, Hacks, The Flight Attendant, The Kominsky Method, Pen 15, and Ted Lasso are the big nominees for tonight.
Yeah, that's the biggest difference now, because it's not just the networks, it's everything. I mean,
only one of those is a commercial television network. Blackish is the only one that's on in a real conventional TV. Everything else is cable or mostly streaming platforms. Hmm. You know, and this is significant, because this accounts for the past television season, which, you know, everyone was inside with, watching because of the pandemic. So they were watching streaming services like never before. Best Dramas nominated The Boys, Bridgerton, The Crown, Handmaid's Tale, Lovecraft Country, The Mandalorian, Pose, and This Is Us. And The Crown is supposed to walk away with that one. So the big winners tonight are supposed to be Ted Lasso and The Crown. Cedric the Entertainer is the host tonight. It's on CBS. And also on Paramount Plus, if you want to watch. If you don't want to watch, I watch. You know, my tattoo that I should have on my arm. I watch so you
don't have to.
Exactly. I'll be watching it, and then tomorrow morning on WGN TV Morning News, I'll report all the winners, and most importantly, all the winners and embarrassing moments. Those are the moments that we like. Those are the ones we like the best.
I would think there would be a funny moment or two if Cedric the Entertainer is the host on that.
Yeah,
he is funny.
He's very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
Back in your day, Schwani, the Red Skelton Show was an Emmy Award winner.
Your day, too.
For 2 years, I Love Lucy won Best Comedy. Make Room for Daddy. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. Danny Thomas.
Thomas. I used to love that show. The Phil Silver Show.
Yeah. Sergeant Bilko.
Yeah, which is basically a show about a guy just yelling for a half an hour.
What?
The Jack Benny Show. The Jack Benny program won for 2 years. Bob Newhart won in 1962 for The Bob Newhart Show, which I don't even remember from 1962.
62?
Yeah.
I don't remember that one. Really? Of course, the one from, the late 60s, and then just the one called Newhart. But,
right.
1962?
I don't remember that either.
Hmm.
Should we get him on the phone line?
Get him on the phone and have him talk about
it. Probably awake by now.
I would think.
Let's take a quick break. We'll continue and give you some details about the upcoming AIDS Run and Walk, which is in just a couple of weeks. Stick around. WGN. 10:25, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. And once again, the annual AIDS Run and Walk is coming up in Chicago. A little more traditional than it was from last year. It's going to be October the 2nd this year. Once again, I'll be hosting the opening ceremonies. Our pal John Peller is the president and CEO of the AIDS Foundation of Chicago, the beneficiary organization of the walk. And John, welcome back to WGN. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you so much, Dean, and I look forward to seeing you in, I guess, 2 short weeks.
It sneaks up on us. Hopefully we'll have some nice weather like we do today for the 30th annual AIDS Run and Walk Chicago. What everyone has been asking me about this is, how is it going to work this year? You know, all, events are getting back to normal somewhat, but everybody's still taking lots of precautions.
Absolutely. And I think the really great news is this event is outside, which is a whole lot safer. So that's one thing we have going for us. We're also requiring all participants to either show a vaccine card or COVID test results from within 72 hours. And we're encouraging but not requiring folks to wear masks. So we think we will be able to have a safe and really fun event. And, you know, I'm particularly after last year's event was so different, I just can't wait to see everybody. And I know that there's going to be lots of hugging, even though we're maybe not quite supposed to do all that. But I'm going to be doing it anyway with folks who are comfortable with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if we're taking the precautions and we're vaccinated and showing test results, you know, we can participate as much as we want. I would think you're probably going to space things out a little more, maybe space out the people a little bit more
for this as well,
right? So people shouldn't feel like they're going to be caught in some, you know, huge crowd of humanity.
Definitely. Yes, there's lots of space there, and we're going to use it all. So
now you also have what you are calling at your own pace, at your own place. Explain what that is.
Say that three times fast.
I had trouble saying it once.
I'm glad you said it, not me. So that is the opportunity to fundraise and participate really from wherever you are. You don't have to show up at Soldier Field. You can just step out your door and do a 5K with the app that we're providing. So encouraging folks who really from anywhere in the country would like to support AIDS Run and Walk Chicago, but from, of course, in Chicago, and we require a minimum of $50 in fundraising for the at your own pace, at your own place version. So folks can learn more about that and all the event information at AIDSRunWalk.org.
Yeah, I love this because, I mean, while it's fun to come down and be with everybody else and see all the smiling faces and costumes and, you know, all the fun that we've had for this very serious cause, you know, if you're able to do it, you know, get your family together, do it in your neighborhood, do it out in your suburb, you know, do it wherever you are. That is also a way for you to participate this year. How has COVID-19 affected people living with HIV and AIDS right now? Is it, you know, kind of the same as everybody else, or has it been a little different?
Sure. So I think, you know, early on during COVID and during particularly the shutdown, when everyone was directed to stay at home, things are really challenging because so many people living with HIV are very low income and often working in service industry jobs. You know, for example, hotels were shut down, and we have lots of folks who, you know, work as housekeepers in hotels. So just getting by was incredibly challenging. And we were very fortunate in that we, through a partnership with the Center on Halsted, were able to provide almost $1 million in emergency rent and utility assistance for people living with HIV and also people vulnerable to HIV. And that has really been essential for making sure that folks aren't evicted and can pay their rents. And that's, I think, just one example of the how the money that we're raising through AIDS Run and Walk Chicago is used.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, you can get all kinds of information on the website. By the way, there will also be free on-site Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna COVID-19 vaccines that will be administered there as well. Get more at AIDSRunWalk.org. John, we look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks, my friend.
Thank you, Dean.
AIDS Run Walk is October the 2nd. Weeks, I'm going to take Hamp and OB with me to go review a play. I want to hear that kind of dialogue.
That is a very good idea.
I'll recap a Bears game and they can review a play.
Huh? And did you see what happened in the second act?
Roy Leonard just turned in his grave, by the way. At that. Time for the week in theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? Things beginning to percolate. Shows begin to reopen around the Chicago area, and Broadway reopened this week. If you want to hear a great conversation that we had with Miguel Cervantes, who played Alexander Hamilton here in Chicago for 5 years and then went to New York to take over the role on Broadway right when the pandemic hit. And then he, like everybody else on Broadway and in theaters all over the country, sat it out for about 16 months. Broadway reopened, and we had a great conversation with Miguel this past week on television about what that opening night was like and what that, you know, those five standing ovations on opening night on Broadway were when Hamilton reopened. That's on WGNTV.com. But today on our theater segment... After 35 years of leading the creative operations for the unbelievable Goodman Theater in Chicago, Tony Award winner Robert Falls announced that he is ending his tenure as the artistic director of the Goodman Theater. And Bob, all I can say is I don't know if I can say goodbye. I'm always happy when you come on the show. I had like really super mixed bittersweet feelings today. Not that I'm saying goodbye to you forever, but I just can't imagine there being a Goodman without there being a Robert Falls.
Well, Dean, thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for those lovely sentiments. And thank you.
Anytime,
I never quite had the musical intro I was gonna say, provided.
I was going to say, anytime you can be introduced by a disco song, you know, there's something right there. So what brought all this on?
Well, you know, it's pretty simple in many ways. You know, 35 years is a lot of time, and I'm probably going to remind some of your listeners that I also ran a theater, a wonderful theater on Howard Street up on the north side, Wisdom Bridge Theater, sure, for more than a decade.
Yeah.
So that's actually 45 straight years of directing plays and especially running institutions, which is its own demanding thing. It's backstage, you're raising money, you're constantly working to plan seasons. I've had wonderful collaborations with extraordinary artists from around the world. But, you know, it just felt right. It just felt like the time to actually devote my time to doing things that I love doing, which is directing plays. And I've had opportunities over the years from many theater companies here in Chicago, but also around the world, actually. And I thought, well, this will be a wonderful time, just as I'm getting on, to continue to pursue those and actually do some things. And I do want to say, I really appreciate your sentiments, but I have to remind you and folks that I'm not going anywhere for a year as the director of the Goodman, the producing director, artistic director, and I'm going to be directing plays in the following years after that. So we'll say goodbye to me on one way. I'll be saying goodbye to the theater, but I'll also be making a lot of work, I think.
Yeah, well, that, I mean, that's comforting in a way, because, you know, I was just trying to remember, I mean, as long as I've been covering theater, you've been artistic director of the Goodman. I remember having many conversations with the late Roy Leonard about what you've meant to the Goodman Theater. I mean, the Goodman was always someplace special, but under your leadership, it really became a nationally known theater. Now, you know, when I travel not only around the country, but around the world, and people that I hear that I'm from Chicago and they say, oh, yeah, Chicago theater is amazing, the Goodman Theater. I mean, they always bring up the Goodman in particular. And I think a lot of that is because of you and, you know, the kind of work that you've directed in bringing the right people there to make it the force that it is right now. What are the achievements? What are the projects for which you are most proud that you have brought to the Goodman?
Well, I think actually, you know, from the beginning, 35 years ago, you're right. I mean, the theater had been around for a long time. It's Chicago's oldest theater. It's going to be approaching its 100th anniversary, its centenary in, you know, in 2025. But I think I came along in the early mid 80s, just at a time when theater was exploding in Chicago. It was a whole lot smaller in terms of the number of theaters and probably the number of actors and playwrights and designers. And I was fortunate both to be able to observe that growth, and I think very luckily to contribute to that in terms of seeing the theater grow. And I'm talking about Theater Chicago to, you know, a worldwide theater city, which it really became. And you're right, it's recognized around the world for its accomplishments and its artists. You know, when I look back from the beginning, it was very important for us to expand, to move out of a theater that was built in the early part of the century. So the opportunity to move into the Loop, to be right there on Dearborn and Randolph, was just an amazing achievement that we were all able to accomplish, whole group of us. And that was pretty unique, pretty special. And I also want to add, and I know this is meaningful to you, but to have 35 years of collaborations with the late, great Brian Dennehy, who I know you knew and who appeared many times on your show. You know, I look back on those days, and they were extraordinary to be able to have that long-term collaboration with him. Also, the opportunity to have produced all 10 plays, again, sadly, by the late and great August Wilson and his cycle of African-American life in this century was